Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now here's your host, John.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Nashville. It is a great night here in Music City, and we have a great show for you tonight. My special guest, Claudia, is going to be joining us. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, John. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I wanted to do something a little bit different than normal. The music community in Nashville lost a very good friend last night. Her name is Lorna Flowers, to cancer. And as usual, I always play a song, a special song from the Regime Entertainment catalog. But tonight, we're going to do a special song from Lorna. Lorna co-wrote this with our good friend Mark Lonsway, and Mark is on lead vocals. So please enjoy, in honor of Miss Lorna, Hey Hey Love.
Spend so much time hiding. Now I wanna catch the sun. I wanna catch the sun. If we could touch the silver lining and see what we become.
All right, again, that was Mark Lonsway doing his and Lorna's composition called Hey, Hey, Love, and we will miss you dearly, Lorna. And I'll be repeating that at the end of the show again, but let's get on with business.
Oh, business.
Claudia is in the house, and we are going to talk about independent women, because when I think of independent women and I look it up in the dictionary, Claudia's picture is next to it. So I went ahead and I looked up the term independent woman on the Urban Dictionary, and there were three definitions that popped up. I'm going to read all three, and I want you to tell me which one best describes you.
Okay.
Are you ready for that?
Everyone, I have not heard these yet.
No, nothing here is rehearsed, okay, y'all? So, all right, definition number one of independent woman, a woman who pays her own bills, buys her own things, and does not allow a man to affect her stability or self-confidence. She supports herself on her own entirely and is proud to be able to do so. Definition number two. A confident, self-motivated woman that takes responsibility for her actions and never blames the rest of the world for her mistakes or her downfalls. Her pride doesn't get in the way if she ever needs a helping hand. A woman who is stubborn, rude, lonely, and always saying she is an independent woman needs to stop lying to herself and the people around her. Independent woman definition number three. Normally, strong, beautiful women. Ages can range anywhere between 25 and older. They can be single or in a relationship. Most of the time, they'll have a child or no children, but there are women with more children who are more independent. They have a lot of experience and expertise in the field they're in and refined resumes. Independent women usually don't want to waste their precious time. Which
okay.
one best describes you?
Those are some good definitions. Let's see.
You can combine, we can merge all three of them together if you
we
want.
We can. Number one, definitely. I was going to go with that one as soon as you read it. I mean, I'm very independent. I don't need anyone to buy me anything, pay for anything. I sometimes struggle if someone wants to do those things. Not really proud to do so. I'm just comfortable.
Okay, remind me. I want to talk about that point in just a little bit.
Pride.
Yeah, or okay. Not wanting anybody to pay for anything.
Okay, we can do that. The second one, I mean, it's good until you get to the whole stubborn, rude, lonely thing, and I really want to speak to that because I think that's it's a misconception. Like, why would you perceive just because a woman is independent that she has to be stubborn, rude, and lonely? And that is a problem that I think a lot of us see.
It's a perception thing.
Yeah, it is.
And perception is reality a lot of times.
Yeah. So number two, I'm going to have to lean against, even though the first, sentence is great.
Mm-hmm.
Woman who takes responsibility for her actions. I never blame the rest of the world for anything that's dealt to me or what I may make a mistake in. It's all on me. And there's pride in that one, too. And then number three, strong, beautiful woman. Ages, definitely. I mean, I'm not really an age-type person. I think age is nothing
but
a number.
Well, you're only 21, so.
Right. Exactly. age is nothing but a number. I'm sorry.
That's
really
true.
Is.
I attest to that.
You're only as old as you feel. Not even as old as you look. You're only as old as you feel. Everyone remember that. I love that quote. If you didn't know how old you are, how old would you be?
Ooh.
Good one.
I have no answer to that.
Think about it.
Okay.
Okay, so most of the time they have one child or none. You know, people joke about the independent woman being the single mother, and she's that stubborn, rude, lonely person.
Right.
I think that's really a sad, misconceived perception. Again, I don't think it has to do with children. I think it has to do with a mentality and a lifestyle, and children may play into that, but...
Well, and also may have to, the rude part might be something that the baby's daddy did or that, mm-hmm. ex-husband did. Because, we all have exes and exes have all done us wrong. I mean, that's just the nature. That's why they're an ex.
Yeah.
So some of it might be bitterness and it moves into rudeness or whatever. But
the last part of it, they have a lot of experience and expertise in the field they're in, refined resumes, and they usually don't want to waste their precious time. That's very true to me and some of my friends. I mean, I do have a lot of experience and expertise resume-wise, but mm-hmm. I also have a lot of life experience, and that comes from my childhood that has nothing to do with my career and being an independent woman, but it has to do with who I am and the people person that I am and how I read people quickly and move on to the next if needed based on initial
school
judgment.
Of hard knocks, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then I'm all about time. Life is short, like in remembrance of your friend Lorna. Life is very short, and I'm not going to waste any time, and I refuse to settle with that.
Okay, so as I was coming to our secret location where we're broadcasting today,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that, and the thought came to my mind, excuse me, you have a lot going on. You have work. Obviously, you travel for your job often. You have a lot of friends. You keep very, very busy.
I do.
Okay. So let's say a new guy comes into your life. You know, there has to be a priority somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you give up? And I find a lot of women in your position that I talk to end up giving up, unfortunately, a lot of their friends. Do you feel that was that to be true, or you know, where do you prioritize the guy?
I have a little bit of a different view from you. I don't think it's about giving up. I think it's about balancing. So you don't have to – giving up to me is, okay, this was once 100%, it's now zero.
Mm-hmm.
Or this was once 50%, but it's now zero. Giving up means you take something down to zero to me. I think it's all about balance. I've actually had – I wanted to bring this up. I'm glad this segue is great. You're welcome. You're a great host.
Thank you.
I was dating someone – very attractive, successful, and just my age, just a great match on paper and in person. And we were dating casually, you know, probably like the December, January time frame a few years back. And he knew my job required a lot of travel and I'm very busy. Had to jet off to Vegas for a big trade show, biggest trade show in the world, CES, Consumer Electronics Expo. And it was in early January. So I get there, I'm working all day on the sales floor, which I'm not going to have my phone out for. And then at night, I like to gamble and entertain, so you can't have your cell phone out at the table.
So there was no communication.
No, and then by the time I get back home, it's in the hotel, it's 1 a.m., but that's 3 a.m. in Nashville.
Right.
So about the last day, finally, I got a little bit of everything had kind of been done. I felt like I could breathe. I reached out, and I'd heard there had been some snow here, which is kind of rare in Nashville. It's again, this is a few years back. And I said, hey, you, I'm heading back to Nashville tomorrow. Heard there was some bad weather. Hope all is well. You know, is there actual snow? And I think he maybe shot me a picture of the snow, whatever. Next day I land, and I'm like, hey, I'm back in town. Hope to see you. And it might have been a day or two that had gone by, and I get a text that says, you know, there's a saying that goes along the lines of, if you want to make time, you will. Or if someone's worth the time, you will make time, even if there's no time.
Right.
If someone's worth it, you will make the time. And I think if you were really interested in me, I would have heard from you more than just how's the weather while you were in Vegas for 4 days.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I was genuinely interested in him.
Yeah.
And he was on my priority for a dating radar, but I do have other priorities.
Sure.
I had work priorities there.
Gotta
I'm in Vegas,
money,
which is
right.
one of my favorite cities. I'm away. We weren't even exclusive. We were
right.
just casually dating. I'm not going to be like expecting him to respond to me or talk to me daily.
Right.
Not that there's rules, but it just wasn't where my head was at. So there's a balance. I think there's a good balance of when a man comes into your life and you have so much more on your plate, if it's something you want, just like if you're in a buffet line, you will make room for that item on your plate.
Right.
And you will push something aside or you will get a little less of something else. I will say, probably in the last relationship I had, my friends suffered a bit and my job suffered a bit because I did raise him to a little higher level of priority than the rest. And some of that, you know, I'm kind of a no regrets kind of person, you know, but looking back, you know, a few months later, I look back at the last year and I thought, I did let a few friends go to the wayside, and I did lose a friend similar to you losing a friend, and you think, you know, you really gotta, you can't because life is short.
Right.
So being an independent woman, you think career probably for me is number
sure.
one, and it has been
right.
for a good 15 years. Career has been first, and I put family aside even behind that, and then dating and friends behind that too. I will say 2014 for me, a revelation is to have my plate very, very equalized.
Okay. Same portions, same amount of portions for everything.
Same amount of portions. I mean, there'll be times when you want more of something than the
sure.
other, just like our appetites.
Right.
And I mean, I'm a foodie. That's
apparently you are,
apparent,
yeah.
Right?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
So I think that you can take portions and you have to learn balance. Balance is the key.
Well, and how do you establish that? Because, you know, just like the guy from, you know, the Vegas situation, you know, he couldn't understand that you had that priority for that week or however long you were at CES, you know, and he didn't understand. And it goes back to even being in the music business or a performer or something like that. You have to understand this is your job. This is how you get paid. This is what you have to do. And, you know, if you had called and woken him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, would he have been pissed or even happy? You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But to throw that back at you, to me, is just like, come on, really, dude? You know, because you got to turn it around. If he's interested in you enough, you know, we're still supposed to be somewhat of the chasers in this. You know, we're supposed to, a little bit, we're supposed to be, you know, we take romance by the horns and we go with it, you know? But if you were worth it to him, he would have understood what you were doing. And to me, that's bogus to me, that his excuse he gave you. So
I guess you're saying, and some of that is, if I were worth it to him, it would have been worth it. But sometimes it's just that it's a personality. It's not a right match.
Right.
Sometimes there's certain men that can't handle the independent woman,
right.
And they can't handle that because it's a neediness that, I'm sorry, but an independent woman cannot fulfill. When a man shows what I call a red flag to that extreme needy side, there's a different girl for him. And there are, that any of us
right
at all.
Of them.
There are different.
It's codependent.
It is very codependent.
You know?
And I want to be there for someone, and I want to meet their needs, and I want to balance them and make them feel wanted,
right.
Definitely, which I think I did a good job of, but apparently that time I didn't. But again, I think it was just not a good match. But like you said, even as a musician, it's funny that you say that the last two guys I dated were musicians. Seriously,
stay away from musicians.
That's
right?
What everybody says.
I know, right?
Some of them are bad, some of them are good, whatever. But no, that's funny you say that, because me being an independent woman, everybody thinks, oh, why aren't you with a 9-to-5 suit? Why aren't you with a VP? Why aren't you with a CEO? Why aren't you with a whatever? And I step back and I think about that, and I want to say to them, if there's two type A OCD strong-willed individuals in the room, what do you think happens?
It's like
pretty.
Two extroverts in the other
exactly.
room, right?
And there's a true saying to opposites attract.
Right.
So
that's sometimes a little crap, too.
It's a little crap, it is. But I, in my experience, have to say that I did date, you know, the last two guys I seriously dated in its long term were musicians, not somebody that I've ever really been attracted to. I kind of think that whole, like, facade of you're on stage, you're hot, it's a joke kind of thing. But I will say musicians have their own life and they have their own thing going and they need someone to understand and relate.
Right.
And I can, because I have to go and I have to be gone and I'm going to be
available.
You're
a foodie and you're a roadie. I mean,
I'm a foodie and a roadie.
You're on the road.
I'm basically a musician without the talent.
I'm sure you got talent in other areas too.
You want to hear
me
sing?
So it's like, you don't want to hear me sing. But
very good answer.
You know, everybody has talent in different places. But
yeah, so I mean, it's funny you said that. You compared it to musicians, and that's actually who I matched well with the last few times. Not necessarily what I'm looking for, because again, it obviously didn't work out. But I need someone that understands that they have a life too, and that our life should be separate. And even if we were to unite in something such as a labeled relationship or even marriage, we would still have we would not be one.
Right.
We would have a unity, but we would have our own life.
Well, and even when you're dating somebody like that, I mean, you have to trust them. I don't know if your Vegas guy was like, you know, she's out there sleeping around, or, you know, he had trust issues with that, whatever it may be. Because, you know, sometimes men, just like women, get weird things in their head about what you're doing because they don't know you well enough.
It's more
a woman
thing.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, probably enough. Women don't trust enough. But.
Yeah. But because, you know, we sleep around more than women do.
I don't know if I believe that.
That's a full of crap. I was kidding. I was joking when I said that.
I will tell you, women sleep around just as much as men. I see it.
Yeah, but not with me. But that's another issue altogether.
Maybe you should travel.
I should travel more again.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Yeah, thank you. This is not about us. But, you know, but so again, you're talking a priority. A lot of men, especially when, you know, we start getting a little bit more advanced in age, you know, we don't want to be below priority number three in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I don't think anybody should.
Well, it's going to happen because you have, you know, especially if you're like a single mom, you know, I'm sure you're not, but single mom, you have kids always first. You know, then you have your job, you have yourself, you got to have yourself in there somewhere too. If you're, you know, your faith, whatever that may be, there's a lot of other things that take priority. And if you try and get a guy in there or a mate in there, if you want to call it, you can't be a 1A and a 1B.
Sure.
You know, you have, even an equal plate, there's still going to be slightly more of one than the other.
But I ask you this.
Oh, please do.
I will. Those of you who know me, I will.
Yay. Speak up.
Like you just said, you even mentioned faith. You have these things on your plate and someone's going to fall behind those. Some of those things you can share and walk in and move in and grow in together. Faith is one of those for me.
Absolutely.
So faith is definitely on my plate and it's in the equal proportion place or the majority proportion place. But when I find someone that I'm going to devote time to and make them a priority, I hope that some of those things on my plate, faith being one of them, is something we can share and work towards. So it's not something they would fall below, it's something they would blend with.
Right.
Because some people put their peas in their mashed potatoes. Why are we talking about food?
Because we're hungry. We haven't eaten yet.
Okay.
You know, we have another Hershey egg or something.
Please, he brought me eggs, everybody. I know. I like Hershey's eggs.
Chocolate. But no, it's interesting. It's an interesting analogy because everybody says, well, we need to have two separate plates. But if you blend in with, if you share the plate, you share those priorities, even if you have five different priorities in different order, but they're the same thing, There's nothing wrong with that.
Even
you know?
When you go to family.
Yeah.
They're my family and you have your family, but if we share those, if
right.
we balance them, I want you to share my family experiences with me.
Mm-hmm.
I will share your family. If you might have a kid, or I don't, but if a single independent woman has a kid,
mm-hmm.
maybe eventually, once the relationship reaches that stage, you're going to be a part of that, and that's
right.
going to be more of a shared priority.
Right.
And so it's not going to mean that you're bumped below it.
Yeah, just stay away. You know, we talk about the buffet. You know, just stay away from the three-bean salad. Nobody likes the three-bean salad. You
Some
know?
People like the three-bean salad.
Do you
salad,
like the three-bean salad?
No.
Okay, then we're not going to have three-bean salad
If you like
here.
The three-bean salad, please tell us. Because somebody I know likes the three-bean salad.
Do they really?
Somebody does. It's there for a reason.
It's because the kitchen's lazy, and they don't want to make... five bean salad, I guess. I don't know.
Apparently.
But,
I love a seven-layer dish.
I know. Well, seven-layer dish is good. Okay. I had six-layer chocolate cake from P.F. Chang's last night and today, so I'm good. Anyway, yeah, turning into a cooking show now.
Exactly.
But, okay, let's get back to independence. When you meet somebody, okay, for the first time, when you meet a guy for the first time, how do you broach that topic? I mean, how do you let him know, well, I'm really, really busy? I mean, is it just something you bring up initially, or you kind of let him figure it out on his own, or what? So
what's funny is when I meet someone, whether it's in person,
Don't say it. Go ahead, say it.
Via you know, friends' introductions, whether it's mutual friends on Facebook, whether I meet them in person, whether somebody says, hey, have you met Claudia? You should meet her. She does what you want. Tinder, whatever. When I meet someone, I'm telling you, within 5 minutes, I get this question, and this is frustrating, but I get it all the time. And within 5 minutes, why are you single?
Why would somebody ask that question?
My previous position that I before I took this position, I have a national position now, which makes me, I think, the independent woman.
Mm-hmm.
I have a national position for a huge company, so I travel all the time and pretty legit job. And before that, though, I had a very good job at a company, university here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So even at that job, someone approached my director, another female, and said, so Claudia, what's the deal with her? I mean, she's obviously not ugly. She's educated. She's, single. Is she gay? Somebody said that. Is she gay?
There's nothing wrong.
There is nothing wrong with gay, but someone assumed that I was
right.
because I wasn't married with kids at my age and at the place I was in my life. And then guys, when I meet them, I don't have a ring on my finger, and I'm obviously interested in them or something. Why are you single? Like, literally the words were,
what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? I'm trying to think of the funniest one most recently was, I'll have to look in a second. It was like, where's the, I'll look in a second. It was hilarious.
Okay.
The word for word was hilarious. But anyway. So I get that very quickly. So I have to answer to that pretty quickly. So it's not like I have to think about how am I going to tell this guy that I'm not sitting at home waiting for his call.
Well, okay.
They ask me.
So we're in a bar and we're talking, and mm-hmm. I say, so why are you single? What are you going to tell me? How do you answer to that?
I answer it very quickly and easily.
Is that a deal breaker for you if they ask that?
No, it's not because it's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, even though I'm in a very similar position, I will even look at a male and think, red flag?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
See,
you're looking. You're successful. Like, why are you single?
Yeah,
so I do too. It's human nature.
To me, the question should not be, why are you single, but just, are you single? That's more important because,
yes.
you know, you look
yes.
at you, it's like, you got to be with somebody.
Yes.
Are you single is more important than why are you single?
Usually, are you single doesn't come up, but I found the question I was just talking about.
Why
are you single? You're breathtaking. Don't seem too crazy. So what is your hidden malfunction?
Hidden malfunction. I like that.
Exactly. But I'm quick to answer. Even my, like I said, someone asked my female director at the time at my last job at this university, and her first response was, she's picky.
That's good.
And that goes along with the independent woman.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We don't need anything.
We don't need.
And I want to talk to you about this, and I want to hear your perspective on this. A lot of men need to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that in a moment. But
okay, so, Claudia's taking over the show tonight.
I'm sorry.
No, you got it. You got it.
I'm sorry. But that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, totally.
So I am picky. Number one, I'm picky. Number two is I am very career focused. Not as much now that I am getting a little older, but in my 20s, my career, my advanced degrees, my family, they were the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
In my 20s, I worked full time, earned my bachelor's degree and my master's degree at night, and I was very busy with that. I adopted a younger cousin who was a family member, and I raised her. And that took my whole 20s. So
mm-hmm.
I played the grown-up and the adult in my 20s, and now I'm in my 30s. And a big thing is society. Like, society thinks we're supposed to be a certain place at a certain time. And I have girlfriends that are both. I have girlfriends that are very independent like me, and single and successful, and have girlfriends that are still very successful, but they're not as independent. They're more codependent. They are more, they fall to that, I'm this age, I should have this and this and this and this and this. And I hate that. Right. It breaks my heart. And I'm so, I force it down people's throats. I'm like, just because it was that way back then does not mean it's that way now. And you will live a longer, more fulfilling life if you live your life first. I love this quote. I'm a quoter.
Go for it.
And I will not attribute it to anybody because I don't remember that.
No, Claudia quoted this.
I don't remember that shit. And I'm sorry. I guess. If you know me, I do that.
Tourette's. Hate it.
Not Tourette's.
Freaking hate it.
It might be Tourette's.
Okay, go for it.
The quote is, please do not date when you are lonely. Date when you are ready.
Right.
And you have to be okay with being alone.
Yeah.
And I'm an only child, and that may attribute to some of my, like, independentness. Mm-hmm. And so maybe some people who aren't only children, I don't know, maybe it's more difficult for them. I'm not sure. But I'm an only child, so I've been singular. I've been independent. I've been a go-getter on
your own.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
Plus, I kind of left my parents early and did my own thing. I grew up fast. That's a whole other story. Mom was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know my dad, my real dad, until I was 19. Like, we can probably have a whole other show about that.
We will, too.
Okay.
Courtney will be in on that
one. Courtney's a good one. Courtney Casa de C Squared. I know some of you know what that is. She will be on a call soon. But yeah, so to say that, I think that people really judge and they think on your age or whatever. So my thing is, look, I'm single because I'm picky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm single because I want to be, because I want to live my life. My 20s were spent living for my career because I did all this working and full-time and education, and I also took in a family member and they're my priorities. Now I'm in my 30s and I'm free of all that and I have a great career. So now I'm just kind of having fun like I probably should have had when I was in my 20s.
Right.
And if you want to judge, so be it. But I know a lot of people that maybe even can't relate to that. They still will agree to the fact that you shouldn't settle down and focus your life on another person or even a family until your 30s, because you have to live so that you have no regrets and so that you're fully well-rounded and balanced by the time you get to that point.
Right.
And that way you can commit and you can say, you know what? My life is your life and your life is my life, and we're going to move forward together. And you have to be ready for that, or otherwise it's going to fall apart.
Agreed.
Which is why the U.S. divorce rate is 50-something percent.
Yeah. Well, 50%, one out of two in this room. So,
and if I can tell you right now, if I had married, I'd be divorced.
Right.
So we would be two out of two.
Well, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's too expensive.
I don't know. I just ended that.
Yeah, drugs. Just say no. But, yeah, just like drugs. Have more wine.
Mm-hmm.
I know
you all love my drink.
Yeah. Anyway, do you find when you're meeting guys, you know, because you tell them that because of, you know, your independence, that they find that intimidating at all?
They don't admit to it. This is what I find.
But you can tell, right?
I can tell. I'm a good people reader.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. A lot of guys think that that's awesome on paper. They think, I want an independent woman. I don't want you needing me. I don't want you texting me all the time. I want to be able to talk to you when I want to talk to you and go, it's a male thing, whatever. And people
control.
Some people say I'm half dude, and I'm okay with that. That's fine.
As long as it's the mental half and not the physical half, right?
I do not
right?
have a penis.
Thank God.
Not allowed to say that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Apparently.
We don't edit this show, so it's all good.
Please try through. Okay, so I find that a lot of guys jump on it. They're like, oh my God, you're amazing on paper. This is what I want in my head, blah, 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 blah. But the minute a guy starts catching feelings, I like to call you catch feelings, they are not okay with it. And this is, I think, why my last couple of relationships fell apart, because the beginning, I was exactly what they wanted on paper. Miss Independent, self-sustaining, she don't need my money, she don't want my money.
Right.
She's got her own thing going on. She'll just let me know when she's available, and I'll let her know when I'm available, and we'll work it out. And other than that, I don't have anybody saying, I don't have time for me. Why are you always your friends? Why you ain't going to take me out? Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And also, the other balance is, I don't need you to show me anything either. Like, I have my own life experiences.
Yeah.
This is what's difficult for men, too, is I'm not easy to wine and dine because I'm independent. I'm already there at a level.
You're already wined and dined.
I'm already wining and dining so many people corporately and career-wise that you're not going to impress me on that. So if that's all you have going for you, you're shit out of luck with this girl. Like, and that I don't mean to be mean, but
well,
I can be wined and dined by more simple things.
Picnics in the park.
And some people, that's the misperception too, that people think, oh, she's an independent woman. She makes all her own money. what the hell do I have to do to impress her? Do I have to go buy like Louis Vuitton and shit?
No,
actually, no.
Dinner at Morton's and, you know, that whole thing, right?
Not
no,
even that.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work because I already do all that.
Right.
Like, it's nice and I will do it with you and I'll enjoy it if that's something we decide upon and be like, let's go have a good set tonight. Maybe it is dinner at Morton's. But it's not going to impress me like it would impress some people that maybe not, they don't have that type of lifestyle.
Well, and those people are more materialistic and more shallow, if you will.
Which is, and there's nothing wrong. Everybody's
nothing wrong.
Each their own.
Right.
Some people are, they didn't have those life experiences
right.
and they don't have that career. So that is what they need.
Right.
And that's what entertains them. And that makes it perfectly fine, which is why they're better matches.
Right.
For me, it's little things. People that are closest to me know I love chocolate eggs from that only come out at Easter. Yes.
Yeah.
He brought me some. But they also know that I love those $1 socks at Target and Walgreens mm-hmm. that are furry and cute and have patterns on them. You bring me some socks that are like people that are very close to me know that that's my thing. Like, and then other people think, she can buy herself whatever she wants. Like, what would I buy her? Well, first of all, people that know me, I can do that. That's fine. But I'm a gift giver.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll buy for someone else before I'll buy for myself.
Right.
So maybe I can buy myself that $15 whatever thingamajig at Target, but I probably won't because I bought for somebody else first. So
right.
the fact that you maybe went and got that $15 thingamajig at Target for me is going to be huge.
Right.
So men get caught up in that. Here's the thing. I've never dated someone that has made more than me. Ever, except the last guy. About
right.
probably about a month into the relationship, he suddenly started making more than me because he got very successful as
right.
a musician. But I can tell you that I have never dated a guy that's made more than me. I don't throw that out there. I don't want them to know that, but I've known it just because I know what they do and
sure.
know what I do, or they've shared.
Right.
And that doesn't matter.
Does it matter to them?
I think it does.
It does.
Because I want to ask. This is where I want
okay.
your. I want your input, and this is where I need your input.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriends that are independent have said, okay, we look at the last few guys you've dated, and you were happy, and you were this or that or whatever, and most recently the last one, you were really what you think is in love. And then it's been way down the road now, we're like a year, years down the road from both of those. You look at who they're dating next, and it's complete opposites of me. If you look at who my exes date, it's girls that don't work, girls that are really young, girls that aren't very successful. To each their own.
Sure.
I'm not downplaying them. I think that they're in a different place in their life, especially age-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you have to look at the fact that people focus on money thinking that's going to intimidate them.
Right.
And that doesn't, because I don't need somebody to do all those things for me. I'm not going to be as impressed or whatever. And I want to hear your input, because girls will say, well, he obviously had to downgrade because he couldn't keep you, because you were up here and he had to work really hard to keep you. So he might as well downgrade to this girl, and it's not as hard for him. He doesn't have to work as hard because he impresses her
mm-hmm.
way more easily than he impresses you. And that hurts my heart.
See, that's not a downgrade.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think these girls are can be completely equal if you look at them on different things. If you scale us on certain things, somebody's going to be higher than the other,
yeah.
always. Now, I will say, I just told you those were girls that said those things to me.
Right.
But I did recently hear from two males. One is a great, 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 great guy friend of mine, and he gave me, like, the honest guy friend opinion.
Mm-hmm.
One is a guy who wants to date me. So I'm not – you always have to take that into consideration. But both of them said – and I really wanted to quote this to you.
Okay.
They said, you know, you have the girl that's great on paper, and you have the girl that's easy. And if I have the girl that's great on paper and I'm going to marry her – I've got to work really hard to keep her because
right.
we both know what she deserves.
Right.
We know that if I don't stay up to par, she's going to bounce and she's on to the next one.
Right.
Then I have a girl that's easy. She's still great. There's nothing wrong with her, but I don't have to work as hard to
right.
keep her. So I'm probably going to settle for her. And I hate settling.
Settle
keep.
Is a bad word.
A bad word.
Bad word.
Settle and pride. Settle and pride, bad words. So I want to read you one more thing, and then
perfect.
I want to hear your take on this. How am I a host? I'm not the host. Okay. So similar to a guy that had recently met me who asked me, you know, what's the fault in you or whatever, he said, most guys would love a chance with you. On paper, you're perfect. But that fear, the one deep inside every man that makes him question, does he deserve you? Will she notice my weaknesses? Why is she with me? That fear will grow the more he cares. Most men need to feel wanted, a priority. I get it, I do. But grow a pair. Treat her with respect. Let her know how much you appreciate all she is, and look at her like she is amazing, because chances are she is. That's the first guy that I've heard that from on that level
That's interesting. No, that
very impressive.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that 100%. And that goes back to what I was talking about, men who are intimidated by you or women like you. Because if they don't have the self-esteem on their side, self-confidence that they can hang with you, so to speak, it's never going to work. You know, if they're worried about, you know, there's a difference between romancing a woman and impressing a woman.
Noted.
Okay. Now, just like you said earlier, impressing a woman would be taking her to Morton's and spending money on lavish. Romancing a woman would be, you know, bringing her socks and you know, chocolates and noticing
working
at. Yeah, it takes work. But even the smallest things, like you said, you don't care about expensive dinners. You don't care. You're just as happy, or maybe even more happy, just going to the park. Sorry, we're reading something from Courtney. If you're just as happy going to have a picnic in the park than you are going to, you know, an expensive steak place. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, Courtney. She will be on the show eventually. Courtney is the other half of Casa de C Squared.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I'm not sure I can handle both of them.
I don't think you could.
Yeah, I may not leave here alive. But you know what? Claudia's doing a great job of hosting. We'll just let her take over.
I'm co-hosting.
She's co-hosting.
But I'm
exactly.
A talker. He knew that going in.
I'm just joking.
He knew
anyway.
Going in. I also said he may not know what he's getting into, but he really did.
But we're having a good time with it. So I think everybody that's listening and everybody in our chat room is getting a lot out of this. So
good.
We're keeping up the good work.
All right, good.
But again, impressing is different than romancing because, you know, to accept the romance, because a lot of this is on the woman. Okay, a lot of this is on you. If we're going to go to the effort of doing something romantic for you, you have to be willing to accept it.
It's very true.
Women can handle anything that is sent to them to impress them, but not everyone can handle something to romance them.
That is a very good point.
That's why I have a talk show.
I needed to hear that because I automatically assume they're trying to impress me all the time, and that's a big turnoff. Don't try to impress me. But I do get romance easily, like the socks and the eggs. So if somebody
brings you socks and chocolate eggs, you're going to sleep with them? Because that's what it amounts
to,
you know.
Not necessarily,
but
they're getting closer. Definitely getting closer.
All right, good to know. No, okay, guys, you got this, right? We're going to actually give away a free date with Claudia at the end of the show tonight. So win a date with Claudia contest,
okay.
Right?
I'll do it. I'm in.
So,
I'm in like Flynn. Let's
okay,
go.
Right,
where are we
good.
Going? Where have we been? Where are you
well,
from?
Not Morton's.
You're going to have chocolate and eggs. Still might
inside
not get
them. Inside the socks, right? Use them as a weapon. Anyway.
And I did musicians, then you go with funk socks.
No musicians.
Okay.
Seriously,
not.
I'm going to have to start screening your men now, aren't I?
I think so.
Okay.
They're not all bad, John. I will speak to their favor and to the women that date them favor.
Okay, then do it.
I did.
Okay, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, there's nothing wrong. Not all musicians are bad. But the problem that you have with it.
Temptation.
Well, from their part, yes. But
here's the thing. Temptation is healthy. I have a whole thing on temptation. You want to do another show?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do another show. The
y'all should see his face.
The issue that comes up is when you get, because you're like me, you're an extrovert. When you get two extroverts in the room, this is what happens, y'all. But musicians are extroverts too. Yeah. Squirrel. Two extroverts with ADD, that's what you want to have going on,
exactly.
Right? I know. So, oh crap, now I forgot what I was going to talk about.
Focus.
As we ramble on. But if you get two extroverts in a relationship in the same room, you know, it's crazy. I mean, if you and I were to go to a music venue, okay, networking thing, let's say, for instance, tell me which one you prefer. Do you prefer walking around together and networking or splitting up and meeting back in the middle and comparing notes? Which would, you know, when you're networking or when you're with an extrovert, how do you like to do that?
Have you
done that in a while?
That's hard because for me, I'm a realist. So it's all about the experience. So if you and I were to walk in a room, like you just said, Oh, Perry, just got your text. That was good.
Yeah.
He's a musician, by the way.
I know. We're getting in the chat room. In the chat room, there's musicians in the chat room, too. Are musicians qualified from the contest? No. Nobody's disqualified. Everybody's qualified.
He's a good one.
Everybody qualifies.
Okay, so anyway, moving on. It's 50-50 for me. Like, I am confident enough to split away from you and go do my own thing, mm-hmm. but I'm not confident so much that I can't handle being next to you and you being the extrovert for a minute and I can take the back seat. I have a great example of this. I have a good friend that her grandparents are very successful in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and not just in Nashville regionally, but they're very successful in Nashville pertaining to the Broadway music industry, the honky-tonk scene, mm-hmm. and all that. And they do a lot for the Nashville community, and their family works with them, and they're branching out bar-wise and business-wise and all that. And they gave me a great quote, and she shared this with me, and her grandmother has shared this with me. She said, when I married him, I knew someone had to take the back seat. They were both strong-willed,
right.
success-oriented, career-oriented. They were going to make it, and they were going to make it for their family,
mm-hmm.
Not only just to make it dollar sign-wise, but they were going to make a point in a town and then for their family. And someone had to, and she took the back seat. And
but she only did it when they were together?
No, they're still together.
No. She only took the back seat when they were in the same room together?
I don't know if I can speak to that because I didn't ask detail-wise. I think I can speak to the point of, like, she knew someone had to take the back seat in the business, I think.
Right.
So she kind of took the back seat, but whenever she needed to take the front seat, she could. And sometimes men that get with women that aren't as independent, they get in a relationship where they're in the front seat, but that other person can't take the front seat
right.
if needed.
And that's hard.
Right.
That's really hard.
So that was a role for me that I thought was huge. And even in my last relationship that I had, I thought about the future and I thought, I might have to take the back seat. I've always made more.
Right.
Suddenly he's probably going to make more than me.
Right.
And I might need to take the back seat, but there probably will be a place in our life because I knew of his plan, his vision. He's not always going to be touring. He's not
mm-hmm.
always going to want to perform. I knew he wanted to actually eventually open up some type of business or record label or publishing, something that grew artists much like he grew,
mm-hmm.
kind of the Pat Green way,
sure.
you know, that way. And someone that can market that and build that. And I knew that about him, and I knew there'll be a point where I can provide enough value that I'll take the front seat at times in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So,
With that in your mind, though, it made it easier to go day to day with the relationship.
Totally, because people think the independent woman has to always be on top, and we don't.
Literally and figuratively.
That's another conversation.
Right.
We don't. We that's another thing. Like, men think, oh, I have to be submissive and I have to take the back seat to her because she's so strong-willed and she's basically a dude in her own right. No, I need you in so many more ways to let me be the girl. I need to be. Like, I need you to be a sounding board, even though that sucks for men. But I need you to tell me what to do sometimes, whether it be in the bedroom or wherever else. Like, I need you to take charge sometimes. You should see him right now. I don't know why our camera is here, but he did just.
Yeah,
I did. Okay. But, like, it does, people need to know that independent women do not need to be put on this pedestal where you're scared of them, you can't relate to them, you can't offer them anything because they're not the high up. They have excelled in some areas, but
mm-hmm.
they still need.
They need.
And if you can meet needs anywhere, then you're still wanted and needed.
Well, and I think the word that we're looking for here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is partner.
It is partner.
It's a partnership. I mean, somebody said that to me today at during the day-to-day about, you know, their spouse, they're married and they're newly married. So they're just trying to work out the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the kinks, as it were, because they didn't date for very long before they got married, maybe a year or two. And they're still trying to determine the partnership and how, you know, but if you share the vision and you get married because you share a vision, you get married because you have the ability to, you're heading in the right direction and you want to share that with somebody, and the person that you're sharing it with is in the same boat, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you complement each other. You have your strengths. He's going to have his strengths. Well, yes and no, but, I mean, you got to like to do the same things,
mm-hmm.
too. But if your personality and the things that you're good at, you know, you're good at.
But you don't have to like all the same things.
No, you don't.
If you like mountain climbing and I don't, or rock climbing, go do it by yourself or
yeah.
with friends or with other girls. I don't care.
Or,
do it. Meet those needs.
Yeah, I mean, I'll,
if you don't like everything I like,
the,
it's okay.
The couple of things that came out of my marriage was now, I mean, she introduced me to a lot of art and Thai food and Indian food, which I love now.
Everyone
okay?
should take positive.
And that's great. Yeah. You always take something positive out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into the negative stuff. That's another show altogether. But anyway.
Oh, shit. Apparently, I will talk to you again on a Thursday.
Yeah. So, you know, but you want to find somebody that is going to be a partner in be supportive and be there for you. And whatever you do, you're there for him, whatever he does, in and outside of the bedroom. Okay. I mean, because, you know, you spend 8 hours a night sleeping and doing other stuff in there. The other 16 hours a day, you're outside. You know, unless it's a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Well,
yeah. Unless it's a rainy Sunday.
You might get an hour and a half or two.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, so you just got to be able to get along. And you have to be friends with each other.
You have to be friends. And I think I keep saying this, like my last relationship was the one that I thought was maybe the most come to fruition type of true love. And I can say that that was the only one that I was friends with someone first. So I've really been focusing on that a lot, like being friends first. And I sometimes think that's kind of BS because we're going to go through our friends list and think, was I really supposed to do him?
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
I think even if you just met them, still work on being friends first.
Sure.
No matter if the chemistry, let's just try to push that back a little bit and don't jump in the sack too quick. Just let's focus on, don't jump on the whole, let me romance you too quick. Let's really focus on, can I hang out with you as a friend? Like if I randomly want to go do something, I didn't want to impress you. I don't want to have any makeup on. I want to have my hair in a bun and I want to go do something like I would with a friend.
That's foundation.
Foundation. If I could do that with you, that might be huge.
Yeah, that's foundation because that's the way you're going to see her, you know, or him all the
and
time.
And that's how I was with my last. Like we were friends for about a year and a half before we ever decided to even, and it actually happened out there in that lighting that you said was so sexy and ambiance in the pool. But
cool.
I blame the light.
Yeah, it's all the lighting. We all look better in lighting, don't we?
We all look better in lighting. But no, I agree. I think that even if you've just met someone and they're not your friend before, you can still focus. You don't have to focus on, let me impress them. Let me make sure they want to date me. Let me make sure they're sexually attracted to me. Let me make sure we have a chemistry. Don't focus on that first.
Right.
Focus on, am I all right with like really just like being rugged and like my friend? Like if you can compare to your friends and you want to be with your friends and what you do with your true friends even over years, if you can do that with him, then you can move forward.
Well, let me tell you what I have realized myself personally in the last week or two, that a lot of us, including myself, are extremely impatient.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as you get older, you know, and unfortunately, well, society, our smartphones, everything is now. But, you know, and then, you know, we're like more friends or, you know, just like Lauren, are we're losing more friends than friends are having babies at this point in time, you know.
Yeah.
So we're in a hurry. We don't take the time anymore to do it like our grandparents did and our parents did. And just like you said, learning to be their friend. So I realize that's how I am. And I need to take a step back and I need to maybe go through my friends list, you know, list of people I've known for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, and see, wait a minute, how about her? But, you know, again, it goes back to timing. And then it goes back again to when Harry Met Sally, the movie. Men and women can't be friends.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's another show.
No, it's not. It's been past shows. Come on. You know, but, it's
give and take.
It is give and take. But it is hard for men to be friends with women and not have the sex thing out there. So it's just, you know, that's what it's all about. Women to be friends with men.
That's awesome.
You have no idea what you're talking about. We need a refill on the wine.
My glass is still half full, everyone.
Second glass, though, dear.
Second glass. Anyway, but it is. You blend it on men, but I think it's hard for women to be friends with men as well.
See, the women I've talked to, it's like, no, it's easy. I'm like, well, no, it's not. Well, they say that, yeah.
They say that. And we can have a whole nother talk about this, but I have female friends that are like, I can have unattached sex, or I can't. The minute I have sex with a guy, I'm attached to him.
Friends with benefits, yeah.
Yeah, but not even friends with benefits, but like, if I have sex with a man, like, I think he's the
emotion.
Yeah, emotions. Yeah. And then there's some that don't. And then I have guy friends that think that there's something wrong with both of them. They think, oh, she's a crazy bitch. She wants to have sex with me and then she wants to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, she has sex with me and she's not calling me.
Yeah, right. We turn into the woman in that scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
We
do. That's probably another call.
We just got 6 more shows here, didn't we?
Everyone should Yeah. Tell us what they want to hear.
Well,
and do it.
We actually have somebody on that's called in.
Okay.
And against my better judgment, I'm probably going to let's take the call here.
Let's do it.
So thank you for holding and welcome to It's Not Me, It's You. Who is this?
Hello, how you doing? This is Q in Atlanta.
Hey, did you have something you wanted to add?
You know, I was just curious to listen. I will add this one caveat. It appears that the lady is not a traditional person that one would think would be associated with the term independent. It's more so she appears to have a coexistence type of mentality. Majority of the people who classify themselves as independent, whether male or female, let me make that clear, can't turn it off. It's kind of like a person who is allowed the privilege through God to have a blessed manager position, but when they leave their job, they can't turn it off.
Right.
So majority of the people who have this type of independent, i.e., self-centered type of mentality, she doesn't fall into that as much as she falls into a self-preservation, I'm thinking of me, and I think that's what she classifies as independent, but I think that's a very respectable type of thing. Majority of the independent women, especially as a black male that I run into, especially out here in Atlanta, are very self-seeking. My friends and I call them opportunists. They are the people who they want to get the benefits of a situation without the blood being spilled, kind of like the whole thing with the Army where they ask the ladies, you know, do you actually want to go fight? Only 8% said yes.
Right.
So it's like those type of things. And what you were saying about partnership and things of that nature and things that she agreed upon, that's what relationships are. But we kind of run into people who he got to be this, he got to be that. And you don't necessarily want to couple with people with that type of energy. And then when someone comes along who maybe doesn't fit your mold or criteria, and they're like, hey, I just want to be your friend and get to know you, and you end up marrying those types of individuals, people that you enjoy coming home to, rather than people who are just following a script.
Right. That's interesting insight, and thanks for doing it. I'm gonna put you back on mute. So thanks for that. That was very awesome. And I want to bring that up because – a little bit what he said makes it sound almost like selfish, that you're being selfish. Do you think?
I agree with what he said. And, you know, he said, I really don't fit into that independent women zone. And I think that if he knew me 4 or 5 years ago, I would fit into that fully. Into, like I said, I gave my 20s to a certain point, and then I'm now in my 30s. And I was very much what he described as the independent woman. And I'm just now, literally, in 2013 and 2014, coming around to the more balanced place that you said that you think I fit more into. But it is the independent woman, they are looked at as selfish. And people look at them as like, oh, I have to fit in this one little mold, this one little puzzle piece that you have me in your mind. And that may be the case for some of them still. Like I said, I'm not speaking for the 100% majority by any means, but I'm speaking for where I am and where I've been, and I have been there. And it took a lot of work for someone to fit in my mold back then. And now it still takes some work, but it's not as crucial because – and we can contribute that to age. We can contribute that to life experiences. But I think that you have to focus on the fact that if someone knows what they want, find that attractive.
Right.
If they like everything and anything, and you fit in that mold because of that, then you're not really held on any sort of pedestal. You're not really. Nobody qualifies you anywhere. So if someone's gonna have a little bit of a status or a little bit of a requirement or a little bit of a whatever mold that you have to fit into, and you do happen to fit it, then you need to take that as a compliment.
Right.
That's huge.
And I want to bring up the point that he was calling from Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm from D.C.
Yep.
I mean, I think that independent women, and obviously here in Nashville, are different than those in a bigger city, a metropolitan area, New York, L.A., you know, Atlanta, Detroit, Chicago, Miami. I just think that, I mean, I keep saying one of the things I want to do eventually is take this show on the road to different cities and get
like
the
that.
Same, get the opinions of the people in those bigger cities versus Nashville or versus, you know, Eugene, Oregon, or, you know, smaller cities like this.
I like that because my background, and we didn't talk about this at the get-go, and I said I think it's the reason why I'm a good people reader or whatever is because I was born in Florida. At age 2, I moved to Tennessee, not Nashville, backwoods. At age 10, I started traveling because my father was a natural gas pipeliner. So between 10 and age 16, I lived in 24 states. I went to 17 different schools across the U.S., Idaho, Wyoming, New York, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Arkansas, whatever. I moved everywhere. Then I settled back in Tennessee, 2 hours east of Nashville, finished my senior year, decided I was grown, I wanted to move on. So I moved to Nashville. I started my career at the age of 18, and I worked full-time, went to school at night, whatever, whatever. Now I did that, and I started traveling at 25, traveling in the U.S. again because I was, like, bored because, of course, I traveled so much as a kid. I'm basically a gypsy.
Yeah.
So now I travel all the time again. So I can relate to that. It is different based on the different regions you're in the U.S. And I work with different women that are corporate women in the different regions of the U.S. And some are single, some are married, and some have very different views, and they handle their position very differently, and they handle their relationships very differently. So I have a piece of that to take into my own, like, what am I going to want or need or move forward with?
Right.
And I think that saying that just from Atlanta, it's very different based on regions, and I think that's why John does need to take this on the road, and I think that we need to go around and hear from different women in different regions. And but this Atlanta and Nashville, 3.5-4 hours apart, the southeastern region, and I have communicated singly as a single person with people from Atlanta and from Charlotte and from Asheville and from other Virginia, little areas in the south and Florida, and I see it differently. I see men, again, 1 minute in, they're like, what is your flaw? Next minute in, it's like, oh, you travel a lot. Why are you trying to date? Like, what? You're crazy. And so the Atlanta point is true to, like, if you're in Atlanta and a woman says, look, I'm doing me, like, you're going to have to take a step back. You're going to have to say, you know what? She's done her. And I'm either going to appreciate that and I'm going to take a step back. And someday, at some point, I will be a priority to her. Maybe I'm not at the beginning and maybe that's not attractive, but think about the long run. We're all in this for the long run. Life is short. What do you want right now? What do you want then?
Right.
It's balance.
And that said, guess what?
It's balance.
We're almost out of time. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share with anybody?
I mean,
or everybody?
Everybody. I think kind of covered it, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it's all about, you know, being secure in yourself, being willing to work with something, being, if you're not where you want to be at the very beginning, realize that just like an appetite. Appetites change.
Yeah.
And just like the plate of vegetables and fruits and carbs and whatever, like, you will get your space and you will get your time, and you don't need it at the very beginning, and you don't need somebody that's needy, and you don't need to be needy, because if you can be with yourself and comfortable with yourself, and if you can be the best companion you can be alone, then you're going to be amazing to somebody else.
Let's hope so anyway, right?
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Thank you, Claudia. It was fun. We're going to definitely do this again. We'll get Courtney in when she's not off gallivanting the hockey games and such. But the more independent women, the better, the way I look at it. So.
Aww, I love you.
I know. It's
and
awesome.
I love those glasses.
Thank you. New glasses, y'all. I can see. I can actually see the screen now. Before we leave, I want to thank a couple people. I want to thank Regime Entertainment, again, as my sponsor. We are looking for additional sponsors to trade some, so we can take this thing on the road in a little bit and do a little bit more advertising.
You want to travel with
and
me?
And grow. I'll travel with you.
You
bet,
promise?
You bet. I'll carry your bag, sweetheart.
Because I got some women. I got some men that will talk to you.
We could do this. We could do this on the road. No
All right.
problem.
We're going on the road.
Going on the road.
We're coming to a city near you.
Soon. To a city near you. Because now the weather's getting better.
You want to go to St. Louis next week?
Maybe not St. Louis.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, that's fine. I can go to St. Louis. I want to go to spring training. That's my goal next year.
Oh,
baseball spring training in Florida.
That's
I know.
My hometown. Sir,
I know. We're going.
We'll
anyway,
be there.
We're going there. Sorry. Warn the city. But thank you guys for joining us tonight. Again, thank you to Regime Entertainment. I want to leave you all again with how we started as a tribute to Lorna, our dear friend here in Nashville who passed away from cancer. Last night at just in her early 40s, so very sad. But again, a song she wrote with Mark Lonsway, he is performing it here. It's called Hey Hey Love. Thank you guys for joining us. Next week, The Anatomy of Happy. I'm going to actually talk to a happily married couple I thought for I know right. Thought for it'd be a nice change of pace to not dwell on the negative and kind of see how happy people were.
I like this. Can I meet them?
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
you come with me.
You.
So tune in next week if you want to get some tips on how it's done right, and we will all learn something from those folks. So looking forward to that. Join us next Thursday night, 6:30 Central Time. Again, as soon as this is done, you will be able to listen to this in archive. And again, always appreciative of everybody who takes the time out to listen live, and those who listen in archive. So here's Hey Hey Love, performed by Mark Lonsway, written by Mark and Lorna Flowers. Lorna, we love you. We will miss you dearly.
Rest in peace.
Peace out, everybody.
Spend so much time catch the sun. I wanna catch the sun. If we could just